We'll go back to some kind of backdrop for that. Midrash Halacha, which appears both in the Sifra as well as in Masechet Sukkah. We'll look at half and half, a little bit in the Sifra. Okay, so we'll come back to the Pesukim. Let's go to the Sifra, Parshat Emor, Parshat Yudbet. I guess we should look at that.
Questions. Yes. Sifra or Sifri? Could you remind me of the difference?
Anyone? Any takers?
There's one for each of the books.
Sifri, and
that's really the
Torah,
same. The Sifri is just sometimes pronounced Sifri and sometimes Sifri, but that's one and the same. Sifra is on Vayikra, and Sifri, depending on how you pronounce it, is Bamidbar and Varim together.
Okay.
Wait, what is
it? These are. There is none for Bereshit.
Oh, because there's no right. But
there's. I'm coming. I'm on it early. These are the Midrash Halacha. In the world of Midrash, is generally divided into Midrash Agadah and Midrash Halacha. When you think of Midrash, you usually think of Midrash Agadah, which is Tanchuma and all the Midrash Rabbas on each Sefer.
Yeah.
Right, all of that is Midrash Agadah. Midrash Halacha is really Midrash that derives Halacha from the Pesukim, from careful readings of the Pesukim, and there are a very specific set of works, one on each Sefer, except for Bereshit, which does not have a Midrash Halacha because it doesn't have Halacha. So Shmot is the Mechilta is the Midrash Halacha on Shmot.
Don't they technically have mitzvot in?
But not enough to constitute a whole book of Midrash on it, right? Maybe Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach, Brit Milah, but Brit Milah also resurfaces again in Vayikra.
Right.
So there's not, like, Gid Hanasha is like the only thing that actually is unique to Bereshit. It's Peruvu, but it also. Probably has like enough opportunities to get sprinkled into like Vayikra.
It's also like pretty direct.
Right. No, there's lots to talk about in terms of the Chiyuv and the extent of the Chiyuv. Like, the Gemara does elaborate on the Psukim of Peruvu, but it's not enough to constitute a whole book,
right?
So the Sifra is the Midrash Halacha on Parshat Emor. Parshat Emor, which is the Kriyat HaTorah on the Regalim, which has the Parsha of the Moedot of all the holidays. Again, we'll come back to the Pesukim in a minute. I'm going to start with the Sifra, third source, Basukot Shivat Yamim LaHashem. Yachol Tei Chagiga V'Sukat LaGavoha Tamud Lamar Chag HaSukot Ta'ase Lecha Shivat Yamim. This is where we can make noise. Okay. The Midrash here is bothered by the fact that if you look in Vayikra Kaf Gimel, which is the first psukim, set of psukim on the page, Vayikra Kaf Gimel describes all of the holidays, and in the description of Sukkot, Pasuk Mem Aleph, I'll start at the beginning. Lamedala Daber Bnei Yisrael Leimor B'Chamisha Asa Yom L'Chodesh Hashvi'i Hazeh Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamim LaHashem B'Yom HaRishon Mikakorosh Kol Melechat Avodah Lo Ta'asu. Then Shivat Yamim Takruvu Isha. So this gives all the standard kind of holiday descriptions, right? It's a Mikra Kodesh, there's no Melacha, there's a Karban, and then there's a weird thing in the Parsha of Sukkot, which I'm not going to talk about, which is that it interrupts with a little general statement about Moedei Hashem, and then goes back to the particular character of Sukkot, Pasuk Mem, Ulakachtem lachem b'yom harishon pri etz hadar kapotz marim ba'anaf etz avot v'arvei nacha usmachtem lefnei Hashem lokechem shivat yamim. Okay, so mitzvah ba'arba minim, and then the pasuk that we're really looking at is v'chagotem atzo chag l'Hashem shivat yamim v'shana chukat olam v'dorotechem v'chodesh ha'shvi'i tachogu oto. Okay, so we're supposed to celebrate this as a chag l'Hashem for 7 days in the year. Okay. What is disturbing the Midrash, the Sifra, is in conjunction with, it's about to quote Sefer Devarim, where Sefer Devarim has a shorter recap of a description of Sukkot, and there it says, Chag HaSukkot Ta'ase Lecha Shivat Yamim Ba'aspecha Migarnecha U'miyikvecha. Okay, so the Midrash here is saying, Basukot Shivat Yamim LaHashem. Wait a minute. In Vayikra, it says that Sukkot is for God, right? For Hashem. But in Devarim, it says that Sukkot is Tase Lecha, is for you. So, Basukot Shivat Yamim LaHashem, Yachol Tehe Chagiga Basukah Legavoha, Tamud Lamar Chag HaSukkot Tase Lecha Shivat Yamim, right? So, Yachol, in Midrashic language, Yachol usually introduces right? It means could be, right? But it actually usually is introduced as a question, right? Yachol is could it be, right? It's to write, could it be that the chagiga, the karban, right, which is described, the karban chagiga.
This is why it's double. It's like one for, okay, maybe I'm crazy. Never mind.
You might be, I don't know what you're saying.
Either way, you're not crazy.
You're not crazy.
Well, like, I heard something about the fact that, like, we have 14, which is, like, double the amount for a regular korban, because one is, like, a hug for ourselves, and one is a hug for God. Like, one, like, kind of, like, supposed to be, like,
okay.
Both.
Okay, interesting. Okay, it's not exactly what the Midrash is saying, but it's kind of relates, okay, because we're going to end up talking about this dual nature. Okay, so could it be that the chagiga, meaning the karban and the sukkah, are all lagavoha, right? Meaning l'Hashem, right? But no, because it says in Devarim, chakasukot is ta'asalacha. I chakasukot ta'asalacha, yachol yehe chagiga v'sukkah l'hadyot. So could it be that the karban, the whole chag, the chagiga and the sukkah are all for us? Tamudamar chakasukot shivat yamim l'Hashem. No, it can't be that it's all for us, because it says in Vayikra that it is l'Hashem. Hakitzad. So how could this be? Chagiga l'gavoha v'sukkah l'hadyot. Right? So this version of the Midrash resolves it by saying that there's an element of Sukkot which is l'Hashem, and there's an element of Sukkot which is for us. Right? The chagiga, the karban, is for God, and the sukkah, this is for us. We do this for us. Okay, so that's one way to resolve the contradiction. The same, if you're resolving a contradiction between Vayikra and Devarim, then chances are high that you're going to find it not only in the Midrash on Vayikra, but you're also going to find it in the Midrash on Devarim. So here we're in the Sifrei, which is two Parshat Re'eh and Devarim. Chakasukot ta'asalacha shivat yamim lehadyot. Okay, this Midrash says it as a statement. If it says ta'asalacha, then it means that it is for the hedyot, right? The hedyot is like the regular person, right? Non-kadosh, right? It's for regular, normal, everyday use. Sukkah is for us. Uminayin af l'gavoha. How do I know? So that's also for gavoha, for God. So mudamar chakasukot shivat yamim l'Hashem elokecha. In kain, lama ne'emar ta'aseh l'cha, right? So same problem. If it's l'Hashem, why does it say l'cha? Kol zman sh'ata oseh sukkah ma'ala alacha ki'ilu atas oseh l'gavoha. This Midrash is going to resolve the same problem. Is it for God or is it for us? In a slightly different way. But before we talk about the resolution here, let's understand the problem. Like, what's the question really? Is it for God or is it for us? What's bothering the Midrash about the nature of Sukkot?
Like, what is the nature?
Is
it duality in the nature,
like,
of Sukkot?
I guess if it's more for us, like, we're going to probably try to derive more, like, pleasure from it, have, like, better food, or whereas, like, holidays that are more focused on God don't focus so much as much.
Really, what about Shabbat? Like, yeah. Shabbat is like Chetzilah Hashem, Chetzilah Hashem, so couldn't just be like that?
Good.
Like,
okay.
It also makes you think of Tefillah, when people say it's Tefillah for us or for God. Like, God doesn't need our prayers.
Okay, good. I'm going to go back to the Shabbat example for a minute, because I think it's going to help us a little bit. I think there's something in particular that we're asking this about Sukkot, not only because it says L'Hashem in one place and L'cha in a different place, but because the nature of the mitzvah of Sukkot invites this question even more. Using Shabbat, I'm going to use Shabbat as a contrast, because Shabbat also, we do have this dilemma. We have this, like, idea of Oneg Shabbat, the Chatzi Lachem part, right? And we are supposed to enjoy Shabbat and wear nicer clothing and eat better food, right? There is a lachem, right? There's a very physical element to it. But if you look at the nature of the mitzvah of Shabbat, there's less of a question. It's actually a chiddush that it's chatzi lachem, because one day, set for yourself as a goal to try to get, he only does it some years, he doesn't always agree, try to get Rabbi Kaplan to talk about his, like, journey. Sometimes he does it. not every year, if you ask nicely. His, like, personal journey.
Is he teaching Krishna again this year?
No, he's teaching Bikya. So I don't know if he always tells every part of the journey in different stories, but one part which always struck me as I heard from him like 1,000 years ago, that in his, like, stage of, like, backpacking kind of, some island in Greece, correct? I didn't remember the details. He and his group of backpacking friends decided they were going to start keeping Shabbos, and it just made sense to them that keeping Shabbos would be a day of, like, fasting and meditation, right? So they went through this phase of fasting every Shabbos, right? And the truth is there's a lot to be said for that. Like the way we spend our Shabbat doesn't necessarily feel very spiritual always, right? You know, our Shabbat is very physical. But the truth is, if you look at the Psukim, Psukim don't invite that, right? The nature of Shabbat in the Torah is not doing melacha. It's refraining from everyday human endeavors, right? It's very clear that it's, right? So it is actually a question why we do make it so physical. But the Torah doesn't create any ambiguity about Shabbat. Onik Shabbat, which is rabbinic, right? So that's like an interesting, like it's a tremendous chiddush, actually, that Shabbat becomes this time of oneg, right? And there is an element in the Torah of menucha, but menucha, again, is refraining from, right. Not actually, like, positively. Right, so Shabbat's, like, an excellent example. It's a great question why we do treat it as Chatzil Hashem and Chatzil Hashem. But Sukkot, I think, is inviting the question is because the very nature, what is the mitzvah of Sukkot?
To build a sukkah.
It's to build a sukkah and...
Sit in it,
live in it, eat in it, drink it. Like the way to fulfill the mitzvah is completely 100% physical, right? It is an incredibly inherently physical mitzvah. And I think that's what invites this question, right? Is it all really just about the physical, or is there something gavoha? Because inherently, there's nothing gavoha about it. And so when the midrash here is saying, wait, is it Lashem or is it lecha? It's because I really don't know when I'm sitting in my sukkah. Sukkot is like a whole different thing in Israel, right? Because like the weather's on our side, right? It's like a really nice mitzvah. Sukkot is my fave. I always think it just brings out like everyone's better angels. I don't know what it is. I'm like convinced that Sukkot brings out everyone's better angels. Like the family just hangs out in the sukkah, and like it's just like you just like that's just what you do.
Sukkot and Shavuot. No, I can't. I've always focused on the fact that there's no
chametz. Oh, but Orly, that's important, right? It was, we're not deprived of anything,
right? Like, no, exactly. It's like Sukkot and Shavuot, I feel like are both. But,
like we're like this is just like a about like enjoying, right? And it is the place where the mitzvah of simcha, mitzvah of chagecha is chag. So I think that's what the midrash is trying to understand. Like, what is the nature of this mitzvah, which is so physical, but like the Torah, and maybe that's why the Torah has to specifically say it is Lahashem. Okay, so the first midrash we saw resolved this tension by saying that the karban is Lahashem, but you're right, the sukkah itself,
It's for us.
The sukkah is like just a physical mitzvah. Whereas the second midrash is resolving it and saying, Kol zman shata oseh sukkah ma'ale alecha k'ilu ata oseh legavoha. You're making it for yourself, but when you make it for yourself, it's like God's going to consider it as if you've made it for him. So it's like an interesting idea, right? That it is very physical, but that's spiritual. Right? That's about God when you do this very physical mitzvah. Okay, I want to put that kind of on the back burner for a minute, or two, and go into the Sugya and Sukkah. Again, the Sifrei continues to the next thing, but I think it's more clear in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. Sorry, that was a full stop. Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. Okay, so we're going back to Vayikra Kaf Gimel, the first set of Sukkim, Pasuk Membet. The basic mitzvah is Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. Yamim, Vafilu Leilot. Right? Yamim, the problem with the word yom is that the word yom can mean, and it means day, but the word day can mean 24 hours, or it can mean day versus night. So what is the mitzvah of Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim? Is it for 7 daytimes, or is it for 7 24-hour periods, yeah. Right? The nafgamina here, which the Sifrei spells out more clearly than the Gemara. What's the nafgamina? I want to know if you have to sleep in the sukkah or not. Exactly. Okay, so the Gemara starts off by saying, Yamim v'afilu lelot. In this context, yom means 24 hours. Atomer, yamim v'afilu lelot, o eino ela yamim v'lo lelot. Right? And Gemara says, that's nice that you said that, but maybe you're wrong, right? Maybe it stays without nights. Prove it to me, right? V'dzu dinhu, nemar kan yamim, nemar v'lulav yamim, malahalan yamim v'lo lelot, afkan yamim v'lo lelot. Okay? Gemara says, I have a great proof, right? That it only means daytime because... I have another mitzvah of 7 days, which is the mitzvah of lulav. And there, the mitzvah of lulav can only be fulfilled During the daytime. It's a daytime mitzvah. This is a problem when you get to Masechet Megillah before Purim. We'll learn Masechet Megillah, and there's a whole list of mitzvot or day versus night mitzvot and when yom means. It's, this is like an overarching problem, is what to do with the word yom. Okay, so on Sukkot itself, I have another mitzvah, which is Shivat Yamim, and there I take yom to mean daytime. So why don't I make the same assumption for the mitzvah of Sukkah? Or you can go in the opposite direction. Ne'emar kan yamim, ne'emar b'miluim yamim. Mal halan yamim, v'afilu lelot, afkan yamim, v'afilu lelot. Okay, so he says, I have another option, right? I can compare this to the yamim of the mitzvah of lulav and say, Sukkah is only a daytime mitzvah, just like lulav. Or I compare these yamim to the yamim of miluim. What is miluim referring to? The Shivat Yamei HaMiluim, the Mishkan, right? So those psukim are conveniently located on the end of your daf. Sefer Vayikra Perek Chet, right? This is the beginning of Vayikra. Or at least correct, right? The very end of Sefer Shemot, the last thing that happens at the end of Sefer Shemot is Hakamat HaMishkan. Moshe constructs the Mishkan, and the Anan enters the Mishkan. God's presence enters Mishkan, and then we go into the beginning of Vayikra and lots of instructions of what to do in the Mishkan. And then in Parakat, we go back to the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. Now that the Mishkan is standing, we have 7 days, what's called the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, 7 days of inaugurating the Mishkan, right? And then there it says, right, instructions to the Kohanim what to do, which is Aaron and his sons at this point, what to do during those 7 days. Mi petach oha moed lo tetzu shivat yamim ad yom la'ot yimei miluechem ki shivat yamim yimalei et yedchem kasher asa bayom hazet tzivad zmai lasot lachaper alechem u petach oha moed teshvu yomam valayla shivat yamim u shmartim et mishmaret adonai v'lo tamutu kichin tzuveti. Okay, so here are the instructions to the Kohanim. Is during these 7 days of inaugurating the Mishkan, do not leave the Ohel Moed for 7 days until the completion of these 7 days. And here in Pasuk Lamed Hey, in case we have any questions, right, where they're supposed to sleep during these 7 days of the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, here the Torah tells us, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Petach Ohel Moed Teshu Yomam Valayla. Right, so here we have Pasuk Lamed Gimel tells us Mipetach O Moed LeTutzu Shivat Yamim, right, 7 days, and two psukim later it tells us, if you have any doubts, that in this case, 7 days means 24-hour days, Yomam Balayla. Okay, so back to our Gemara then. Ne'amar Kan Yamim v'Ne'amar B'Miluim Yamim. It says here in the mitzvah of Sukkot Yamim, and it says in the mitzvah of Miluim, it says Yamim, just like in Miluim, it means day and night, so too it means day and night. Okay, so we have two models, so we're stuck, right? We're at an impasse, because we have a proof that Yamim means 24 hours, and we have a proof that Yamim means daytime, so we haven't gotten very far. So what are we going to try to do now?
Disprove,
or figure out which one is, like, which is more relevant to our mitzvah, which is the better model. Okay, so Nir'el mi domeh. We're going to look at to which is the mitzvah of Sukkah more similar. Danin davar shemitzvato kol hayom is davar shemitzvato kol hayom, ba'al yochiach davar shemitzvato sha'a achat. Okay, one side of the argument says it makes more sense to compare a mitzvah that is an all-day mitzvah to another mitzvah which is an all-day mitzvah, and not to prove something from a mitzvah which is instantaneous, sha'achat, meaning, which one makes more sense?
Lulav.
Not lulav, because lulav, it's a daytime mitzvah, but it's not an all-day mitzvah. It takes around 25 seconds, right? You're done. So that's not very comparable to Sukkot, because even if you understand that yamim means daytime, you still think it means 12 hours, right? All day. Like, you wake up in the morning, like, it might mean you don't have to sleep there, but you wake up in the morning, and
you eat in the sukkah,
and you hang out in the sukkah, right? The Gemara uses the term letayel basukkah, which is kind of a fun thing to do, because letayel, right, you don't go on the tiyul, right? But it means, like, just, like, hang out in the sukkah, right? That's just where you are all day long. So even if it means daytime and not nighttime, it's still all day. So the Gemara is saying, I'm not going to compare it to lulav. That's not a good comparison, because lulav, by all accounts, is an instantaneous mitzvah. However, kalach l'derech zeh, but I could also go the opposite direction. I can make the opposite argument. Danin devar shemitzvato l'derot, mi devar shemitzvato l'derot, v'al yochichu miluim she'enu hagin l'derot. opposite direction is, why am I going to compare the mitzvah of Sukkot to the mitzvah of Miluim? What does it have in common? The mitzvah of Miluim is a mitzvah which is not l'dorot. It's a one-time in history mitzvah that was only given to Aaron and his sons, right? Never applied to anyone else. So why am I going to use that as a paradigm for an annual holiday, right? It makes a whole lot more sense to compare one mitzvah in the same annual holiday to another mitzvah in the same annual holiday, right? Okay, once again, I'm at an impasse, right? Because I have a good argument in either direction. So how are we going to get out of this? Talmud Lomar. Okay, we're going to prove it from what the Torah says. Teshvu, teshvu, l'gzerah shava. Ne'emar kan teshvu, ve'ne'emar b'miluim teshvu. Ma'lahalan yamim v'afilu leilot, afkan yamim v'afilu leilot. Proof is, right, in the end of the day, it's not just yamim, right? Not just am I looking for a place where there's a mitzvah of yamim to see is it 24 hours or is it daytime versus nighttime. I'm going to look for the only other place in Torah where there's a mitzvah of Teshvu. And the truth is, in the same way that Yamim can have two implications, well, Teshvu can have multiple implications, right? What is the mitzvah of Teshvu? Teshvu can mean to sit, but it could also mean to live, right? Yeshiva ba'aretz, right? Yeshavtem ba, living in the land, doesn't mean literally to sit all the time in the land. It means to reside in the land, right? So if I want to know what Teshvu means, well, the only other place in the, I mean, there is Yeshiva ba'aretz, but the only other, like, this kind of, right, the only other comparable mitzvah is actually the mitzvah of Miluim, which not only does it have Yamim, but it actually has totally parallel language of Mipetach ol moed lo tetzu shivat yamim, right? Upetach ol moed teshvu yomam v'layla, right? We have a mitzvah of yeshiva of 7 days. Okay, that's it. Slam dunk. It's gzera shava. We like gzera shavas, right? We've moved away from logic. We've moved to gzera shava. That's it. We win, right? I want to say something briefly about Gzera Shava in general, and then about this Gemara, therefore. Gzera Shava in general kind of seems like a little voodoo sometimes. Like, oh, found a word. Got it. Okay.
Is that usually Masora?
For sure. The Gemara definitely relates to the fact that Gzera Shava has to reflect a Masora. But, and that's 100%, halachically, that's very important. I would like to suggest, and I think this is a good case in point, that Gzera Sheva is also being used methodologically, like I think Chazal took them very seriously as really telling us something very fundamental. In other words, if the Pasuk has a mitzvah of Petach o Me'ei Teshvu Yomam V'Layla Shivat Yamim, and then later on the Torah tells us that the mitzvah of Teshvu Shivat Yamim, that the Torah is really, like, in a literary sense, inviting us to say that even though this is a one-time mitzvah that was only for Aaron and his sons, it's inviting us, right? The use of language is there to suggest that there is a deep connection, right? This is, I'll throw in, I guess, oh, actually something I learned with many of you. In the same way that the Torah says, Yom Tru'ah, what's a Tru'ah? Well, I'm going to learn Gzera Sheva to other places where it's Tru'ah, and then conceptually it's going to tell me, well, if I look at other places where the Torah says Tru'ah, it's going to tell me something about the nature of Tru'ah. So I think when the Torah, when Chazal identify Gzera Sheva, they're not just identifying, like, a random connection. They're trying to identify that the language is indicating a deep conceptual connection, right? And they're saying it is not a coincidence that there's a one-time in history mitzvah of Teshvu Shivat Yamim, and then there's an annual mitzvah of Teshvu Shivat Yamim, right? Because it makes a lot of sense. Because what is the one-time mitzvah of Teshvu Shivat Yamim, right? The mitzvah of inaugurating the Mishkan, right? Which comes at what point in Jewish history?
Right after
Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right after Chita Egel, early on in the Midbar, right, where this is what we're up to, right? And in our cycle of Chagim, this is what we're up to, right? We've commemorated Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Pesach, and we've moved on to Shavuot, where, at least in Chazal's reading of it, we commemorate Matan Torah, which takes place at Har Sinai, and then we are now moving into, right, what are we commemorating? Sukkot is kind of a funny holiday. What are we commemorating? We're commemorating our journey in the Midbar of 40 years, right? We're not commemorating a moment in the same way that we are in Pesach and that rabbinically we are in Shavuot. We are commemorating the historical event of this expansive event. And what did we have in terms of our living in the Midbar, right? What represents our living in the Midbar is very much the Mishkan, right? The Mishkan was the center of the camp, right? Everything was around the Mishkan. That represents, we traveled when the Mishkan traveled. We followed the Mishkan. The Mishkan represents the entire journey in the Midbar, right? So it really is the next step in the cycle of the Regalim, and it really is also representative of the Midbar experience that we're supposed to be inviting here, that we remember. What happens after the Shiva Yimeh Miluim? Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, right? Parshat Shmini, which comes in the next parak here, is the next step after the 7 days. Unfortunately, that Bayom Hashmini went awry, right? Which one of Nadav and Avihu bring in Esh Zarah. But let's forget that for a minute, right? What is supposed to happen, I mean, what does happen on the Yom HaShmini is the culmination, right? There's the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim where the Kohanim move in to the Mishkan to inaugurate it. But then the Yom HaShmini is the day when they actually give, right? Moshe does everything during the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. They're there, they're learning. And the Shmini is the day when they really inaugurate the Mishkan, when the Kohanim do it. And again, it goes awry, right? But the Yom HaShmini is the culmination of the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. Sukkot has a perfectly parallel structure, right? Because we have 7 days, and then we have a Yom HaShmini. This is one thing which I think, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but one thing which gets a little lost in Israel, right? It's all kind of ironic because in Chutz La'aretz, presumably this is what happened, right? Because in Chutz La'aretz, Shmini Atzeret had then a ninth day, right? And it was a little hard to maintain it. So Simchas Torah got kind of thrown in there, right, at some point in history. But then when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, right, you don't have 2 days. So you don't have a Shmini Atzeret and a Simchas Torah. You end up just Simchas Torah kind of takes over the personality of Shmini Atzeret. So you kind of lose out on the idea here of having a Shmini Atzeret, right? Simchat Torah just takes it over. But Min HaTorah, right? There's no Simchat Torah. Min HaTorah, there's just this eighth day. It's the only holiday we have that has no personality, right? It's just, I mean, no, that's not true. Shavuot also, right? It doesn't have much personality, right? It's a chag. We add a lot to it, right? But it's called atzeret, right? Pesach has an atzeret, which is just this culmination day, which doesn't have so much personality on its own. And then Sukkot has this very strong personality. It has the Arba Minim and it has the whole Sukkah, right? There's a lot going on, right? My kids were saying the other day how they always feel like we have to eat matzah on Sukkot, right? You just feel both Pesach and Sukkot, the ritual kind of takes over, right? There's so much, every time you go to put something in your mouth, you're like, wait, am I okay here, right? And then both of them end with an atzeret, which is just a day, right? And that's the Shmini. That's what comes after the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. And that's when the real work starts, right? The Shmini is really just the first day of every day from now on, right? There's going to be a Karban Tamid now, right? It's back to routine. And it's very much recognizing that we have these moments where we pull aside, we do something, we Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, we stop life, right? And we just teshvu in the Mishkan, and we are Lahashem, right? It's days which are dedicated to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but then we have to go back, right? We have to bring it back with us, right? The Mishkan is not supposed to be permanent, right? It's supposed to be a temporary structure that we bring with us, right? And so what we're doing annually, so what we end up saying is, in the end, we are going to use the Miluim as a model for Sukkot, but wait a minute, wasn't our objection that why are we going to use a one-time in history mitzvah? And I think our answer is, it turns out it's not a one-time in history, right? It's a one-time in history that we actually inaugurate the Mishkan, but it now gives us some insight into what the Chag of Sukkot is about. The Chag of Sukkot is about creating a space where for 7 days you kind of stop normal life, you do something very physical, right? And this is, I think, that first midrash. Is it Lahashem? Is it Lahadyot? It is Lahadyot, but it's Lahadyot that's Lahashem, right? Because you just live your life, but by living your life, eating and drinking and sleeping, as it turns out, right, is the answer. By doing all that in the sukkah, in this kind of mishkan-like environment, you're basically saying that my life, my physical life. Like, I'm bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into that physical life, and then I'm going to move back into my house and bring the Mishkan into my house. And that's what Shemini Atzeret is about. Shemini Atzeret is about giving us the day to take the kind of Mishkan-like experience here and bring it in, not for the eighth day, but for the eighth day and on, right? And that's what Shemini Atzeret is about. Okay.
Thank you. Jacqueline. And that's a lot. So we're going to find out.